National Council of Jewish Women Oral History Project 2. This is Eleanor Cohen and Betty Liff interviewing Becky Berman at Zenith Gallery on Wednesday, January 12, 1983. Mrs. Berman, what can you tell us about your immediate family, your father, mother, siblings, brothers and sisters, and so on?
My parents migrated from Russia in the latter part of the 19th century. I was born in Pittsburgh. I had two sisters. I had two sisters. I had two.
Can we have their names?
My sister is still alive. It's Cecilia Lieberman. She passed away.
You had another sister who was no longer
Torian.
And your parents' names?
Another thing was Devera, D-E-V-E-R-A, I believe. My father was Bear, B-A-E-R, Rabinowitz.
Bear Rabinowitz. And then your maiden name was?
Yeah. And besides, when I was quite young, she was Robin.
Can you tell us something about your family background, the atmosphere in your home when you were growing up?
We moved from Pittsburgh when I was about 6 months old, and I lived in West Virginia for some 16, 17 years, which home I can only remember them to be very pleasant and very wonderful. My parents liked music and books, and they moved back to Pittsburgh in 1926, and I graduated from high school and came back in 1927.
Stop this a minute. When you came back to Pittsburgh as a teenager, after you finished high school, what did you do?
I had a summer job in a wholesale candy place, and then I started to Pitt, where I was audit. Actually, I didn't start as a full-time student. And believe it or not, I went to school 23 years. For 23 years after that.
That's wonderful.
No. I never got a degree. Never.
Well, when you went to Pitt for how long? Tell us about your school.
Well, I went the first time I matriculated at Pitt, I studied art history and creative writing. I went on for a couple of years. Then I stopped, and I went to an art school. Up and down.
What art school did you go to?
I went to the Divine Providence Academy, which is no longer here. And then I studied with Raymond Cimbeli in a private school that he had.
This was in Pittsburgh.
Then I went back to Pitt. Then I studied with Sam Rosenberg for a while. Then I went back to Pitt, and I studied with Virgil Cantini for, I guess it was 2 straight years, and then 2 years as a studio, or 3 years as studio student. And that was the end, I think, of my schooling.
When you say you were a studio student, you mean with Virgil Cantini?
Yes, well, we were allowed. I went to class to Pitt, and he allowed us to use the studio. But there was no longer any teaching experts.
Now, you didn't get college credit for this?
Oh, yes, college credit all the way through.
I'm so sure if you wanted to get a degree, you could...
I suppose, who needs that? I was only interested in art.
Yes. When did you first realize that you were interested in art as your career?
I guess my early 30s.
You studied art history prior to that?
Writing, mostly.
You were interested in writing first, then. Did you have a job at all?
No, I got married.
Okay. Let's talk about that then. Let's talk about your family life for a while. We're going to skip around, I can see. That's good. When did you get married?
In 1934. Alfred Berman.
And how long had you known Alfred?
Four months.
4 months. And when you were married, you were in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Will you tell us something about your life at that time?
Very unproductive. My sister and I lived at home. We all lived at home. It was pretty nearly the end of the Depression, I believe, and we had a wonderful time. It even continued for years. So the four of us lived with my mother and father, which made it one big happy family.
When you say the four of us, you
mean? My sister, her husband, and myself and my husband.
I see.
And then after, like, 1939, I decided I wanted to have a baby, so I got pregnant. Right, Peggy? My sister and I were pregnant at the same time. Both children were born within 10 weeks of each other, and we still lived like one great big family. And when Peter, my son, was 2 and a half, we decided it was time to become a family. So I moved. My sister stayed with my mother and father.
Your son's name was Peter.
Peter.
He was born in 1939.
He was born in
1940. Mm-hmm. I see. And up until that time, you all lived together in the family home. Where was this family
on
home?
On Chislett Street, East End.
And your parents were still living?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you decided to go out on your own. You moved?
We moved to 5 or 6 blocks away from the family home on Wayne Road. And we stayed there until Peter was ready for college.
Well, Wayne Road is in East End,
yes,
as well.
Mm-hmm.
And while Peter was growing up, what were you doing?
Going to school and stopping, and going to school and stopping. Belonged to several organizations like the Children's Civic Theater Society and the Associated Artists, that kind of stuff. And then that went on until 1960, as a matter of fact.
Now, when did you start your painting?
I had to be about 34.
Before you started painting?
Mm-hmm. Because Peter was just about 4 years old. He was still going to kindergarten.
You hadn't done painting before that?
No, I was writing. I was writing.
Well, now, this writing, what were you writing?
Short stories.
Short stories. Were they published?
No, that's why I quit. Good reason.
Well, were you employed by anybody?
No, not at that
you
time.
Worked. You lived at home and wrote short stories at home?
I went to school.
And went to school.
Mm-hmm.
Then when Peter was about 4 years old, you decided that you were going to start too.
Yeah, but that's when I started to the Divine Providence Academy, where I studied for 1 year. And then after that, I studied with Raymond Cimbeli, and that had to be for about 3 or 4 years. From there, I went to Pitt to study with Virgil Cantini. And then from Virgil, we went to Sam Rosenberg. And then on.
How long were you with Sam Rosenberg, would you say?
I think about 3 years in his workshop.
Before we start to talk about your art career, I'd like to talk a little bit more about your life before that. You lived on Chislett Street with your husband and your parents.
Mm-hmm.
What organizations, can you recall the organizations you were active in those days?
Before my child was born, it was Neil. After Peter was born, it was the Children's Civic Theater Society.
Where was that?
That was run by Grace Price. She was actually the purveyor of plays. We had an office at the Arts and Crafts Center, and it started off as a group of people who wanted to bring live theater for kids.
I see.
And I was in it for about 12 years.
Do you remember any friends, teachers that you made in your school days?
Well, I was very friendly with the writing teacher at that time, who was Edwin Peterson. Of course, I've been friendly with Virgil Cantini since then.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we were friendly with Sam Rosenberg. All the artists, as a matter of fact, I guess we never severed any relationships in that.
When you were going to Pitt, you were doing art history as well.
I did art history.
Writing, you were taking writing courses.
I gave up the art history, decided that on my own, but I continued with the writing courses for quite a number of years. I would say about six under Edwin Peterson. My first one was with Percival Hunt, who was head of the department at the Fair Festival. Mm-hmm.
I remember those years myself.
He was a good teacher.
And you said that you had a lot of fun at home with your family, even as a child. Can you tell us anything about your family life?
Well, my
back
father
home?
Was in business, and my younger sister and I were very, very close. So we played all the time. That's all I can remember. We played.
Was it a particularly religious home?
No, it was not religious at all. My father and it was an atheist. My mother went along for the ride. No, it was nothing. Yeah. You know, it was had a religious background.
Mm-hmm. And you never identify with any of the organizations or anything, right?
My husband belonged to the
Your husband did?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were married to Alfred Berman in 1934, and you moved to Wayne Road.
In 1942.
Can you tell me anything about your life with Al?
He had a wonderful life. He was a very supportive guy. He liked everything he did. And very nice man. Very good. Mm-hmm. Our marriage lasted 46 years.
Mm-hmm. And he is no longer living? 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything else we do? How about your social life that would go along with
it? You know, it's very interesting, your social life. We never knew what people meant, but our social activities were really, it was all over the art. So that makes it a little difficult to expand upon because you speak that language and that's all you do. I mean, your life is altogether different from being social. It's not a social life. It's a kind of life where you get together and you have fun and you talk about everything that has to pertain to your kind of interest. It's generally art. It's a way of life. I don't know if I could ever explain it to anyone, but going to a social activity was, you know, where you held a cocktail glass and talked about your kids and your home, this didn't happen in our circle. There was no way that you had kids, but you didn't talk about them. That was your business. But it's a fun kind of, I could never describe it.
You talked about art?
Art, the art world, and what you did, and how you did it, and all the people, and the people that you, I guess you had an affinity with, because they were basically the people that had your interest. And my husband went along, so he learned as much as I did.
These were other artists you were talking
about. Yes, and there
was a camaraderie, would you say, among the artists?
At that time, yes. It's not as great as it used to be. But when we were younger and we belonged to the organization, it was a serious yet a fun thing. You got together because you were basically interested in what was happening. The art world was not the same, is not the same now as it was then. The kind of interest that we had, I guess maybe we were in the learning stage, I don't know.
Did you say you were supportive of each other?
Yes, most of us were.
Not competitive? Mm-hmm.
Very little competition, very little. I can't remember it. Every artist was very happy for what everyone else was doing.
Can I interject? Did you say something about an association?
We belong to the art.
Is that what this was mostly? And that's what this.
Mm-hmm.
And you.
And there was.
I joined in about 19. Had the needle had a part of the 50s. I was in that group too, but it seems to me that there aren't going in the latter part of the 50s, which would make it almost 30 years ago. 25 years. But I dropped out.
Of the associate artists?
Yes. For reasons that I felt were more personal than anything else, because I felt that when you became a professional artist, you no longer needed to be juried or have somebody look at your work and tell you whether it's good or bad. If you didn't know by then, forget it. But the association is not for that reason. I think they band together because they feel there's strength in that banding. I felt personally that I would rather be on my own.
So you left the Associated Artists of Pittsburgh?
I guess it must be close to 15 years that I have not been. It's a very fine organization. They do a lot of good for each other, but I personally didn't want to be on.
But this was the crux of your social life at the
yes,
time.
Yes, at the time it was the Associated Artists and the group of people that put on.
Well, the art in your life superseded hobbies and other. Would you say
when I decided to become a professional painter, I decided that volunteer work was out of my line, that they could now pay me.
Had you done volunteer work before that?
Up until that.
Can you tell us about that volunteer work?
Yeah, good idea. Well, what do? You work on the cancer fund and you work, but mine basically was with the children's theater. I was really most interested in that. And of course I did volunteer work for the Pittsburgh Plan for Art until I finally got there. But it was all volunteer till about 1960, I would say, would be when I decided to get enough of that painting.
I see. Now, your son Peter was growing up all this time.
Yeah, that was when he left. In 1958, he was through high school, and he matriculated at Columbia, and that was it.
Does he live in Pittsburgh now? Mm-hmm. No, he didn't stay.
He never came back.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in New York.
Mm-hmm. So then you became a professional artist.
Latter part of the 50s, I decided it was time to do my own thing.
And how did you first start? How did you do that?
I don't know when you become a professional. You become a professional when all the work that you do is sold. That's the difference between an amateur and a professional. That everything you do is a saleable item. I guess I had entered one of the Associated Shadows and I got some recognition and worked again to sell. And then I stopped exhibiting because I got a job at the Pittsburgh Plan for Art, which made it a conflict of interest if I exhibited at the plan. So I didn't. I exhibited in other places. I had a show at the museum. I had a show at the University of Pittsburgh, at the Playhouse, and so on and so forth. But generally what was sold through somebody who came to see me.
In other words, you had the gallery in your own home?
No, I had a studio.
You had a studio. Where was the studio?
It was on Liberty Island.
In downtown?
Bloomfield.
In Bloomfield.
Mm-hmm.
I get this all straight here.
When did you open the studio?
I was just in the studio, in my own studio, if I could tell you.
Yes.
Sometime in the 50s.
Now, before you opened the studio in the 50s on Liberty Avenue, you
drove. I had been somewhere else. I had several studios before I went there.
Mm-hmm. Do you recall where your studios were?
Well, I had one on Filbert and one on Ivy.
Do you remember about when you first started to have studios and exhibit for sale?
Oh, for sale, it was around 1957. But the studio was only my workplace. That's only where I painted.
Mm-hmm. You mean you didn't sell out?
No. If anybody wanted it, I took them to see what they could see what they wanted. But there was nothing, it wasn't open.
Were there any people that were showing your works then?
I don't remember the same thing. I think some of the decorators had the work.
Did you ever have any interest in politics or what's going on in the world? Or
no? I'm interested, but I never participated in that situation.
During the war years, you were...
I was raising a child, and I was here, and...
Your husband wasn't there?
He was too old to... and sick. Mm-hmm. I mean, he couldn't He didn't make it, let's say, but I think they worked in some kind of factory during some hours of the day.
Yeah.
That's how they participated.
So you were associated with the Associated Artists of Pittsburgh, and then you went to the Pittsburgh Plan for Art.
Yeah, I got the, in 59 or 60, but I replaced or helped the director, and she became ill and I became the director. And I was there for until 1979.
Always between. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Pittsburgh Plan for Art. Okay. Before you became the director, can you tell us anything about it up to that point?
The Pittsburgh Plan for Art was started in 1955. Four people who became interested in the art climate of Pittsburgh. At that time, there was really no place for the local artists to show. They had their one big shot a year, which was at the Carnegie Institute with their Associated Artists show. And so four people, and let me see who they were. That was Ruth Wilner, Norman Rice, who was then Dean of Fine Arts at Carnegie Mellon, Leon Arcus, who was the assistant director of the museum, and Carol Perrin, who was Dr. Perrin's wife. The four of them got together.
Perrin.
P-A-R-R-A-N, Dr. Perrin. She was Dr. Perrin's wife. And he was, I think, at Kirby. I don't remember that. But they were able to get a grant from the A.W. Mellon Foundation. And they, through Abe Wolf, I believe it was, they got the old King Estate, the house there, and they opened up in 1955 as the Pittsburgh Plan for Art. I got there in 1959.
And this was where artists from Pittsburgh?
Then artists were, no, at that time it was an association that was open to anyone in the world. And it remained open until for about 8 years with a roster of about close to 400 artists. But it was never designated as a plan for Pittsburgh artists. It was a plan for Pittsburgh art. No, it wasn't for Pittsburgh art. The Pittsburgh Plan for Art, not a plan for Pittsburgh art. So consequently what happened is at the end of about the 8th or 10th year, it got to be unwieldy and you were getting too much stuff that wasn't very good. At that time, I was already the director, and it was decided that we reduce the roster to such an extent where it would be easily handled. And we cut it down considerably, leaving out people from X number of places and not very amateurish. And then we decided it should be only Pittsburgh. And of course, all the inventory was juried by somebody that we brought in from either New York or something else. Originally, it was done by three people, one from the ranks and two from Carnegie Mellon. And they chose the inventory that we were able to rent or sell at the Pittsburgh Plan for Art.
Now, the idea of the Pittsburgh Plan for Art originally
was
unique, was it not?
I believe that there was one other place like it, and that was in California, from San Francisco, from which they got most of their ideas. And then I think when they opened here, it was a similar plan, but they were open every day, run by a staff. And of course, fathered, so to speak, and mothered by Carnegie Mellon, at which, at that time, it was Carnegie Institute of Technology. And they got it was successful up to a point, at least it introduced the city to the chance of being able to look at art and rent it and take it home.
It wasn't the renting a unique idea?
Very unique. It may have been, I don't recall really whether it was patterned after the San Francisco job or not. It may very well have been, but it was successful here, whereas it was not successful in, I think it was successful.